It is so good to see you today. Beautiful day, huh? Amen. I want to talk to you today on this topic. Why communion? Why is communion so important? And when we think about communion, we're not simply thinking about that time each week that we as a community join, but we're talking about communion as a life experience, which is to say a perpetual celebration of the fact that God is victorious, that he has freed us from bondage and made us a liberated people. The idea of communion is parallel to that of the Passover. Now, if you remember, the Passover is basically a foreshadow of what we recognize to be Christ's sacrifice on the cross. In fact, Jesus is called our Passover. But when we look at the Passover, we look at it as a beginning of days for Israel. It was going to be that mark on their calendar that says, this is the day that we began to walk in freedom. This is the day that Pharaoh had no more power over our lives. This is the day that all of the promises of God began to be made clear and began to be made manifest. This is the day that God begins to do everything that he said that he would do, and he would do it in such a manner that it would bear witness to all peoples round about. Now, the thing that's ironic with regard to this promise, and this promise was supposed to be corroborated and celebrated by the feast of the Passover, by communion. The ironic thing about it, as you and I know, is that the Lord asked them to celebrate this great liberty and this great freedom while they were still in Egypt. He didn't wait for them to get across the Red Sea. He didn't wait for them to get through the wilderness. He didn't wait for them to get into the promised land. He didn't wait for them to get a king that was after his own heart. He asked them at that moment in time that they should celebrate what he has done and who he is, irrespective of what was going on around them. In other words, they didn't have to be in a society or in a country where all of the leadership, the president or the Senate, as in our case, or the House, as in our case, were all walking in line with the Lord. They didn't have to wait until they lived in the right neighborhood or they lived in the right kind of house. They didn't have to wait until all of their enemies were silenced and all adversity subsided. They didn't have to wait until they were working in the best job suited for their skill set and their personality. They were given an invitation and a command to honor the Lord in the presence of their enemies. The Lord had spread a table for them in the presence of adversity, and he said to them, this is a beginning of days for you. This is a new time in your life. Everything begins now. It begins with you choosing to celebrate freedom, even as we heard this morning, beginning with us choosing to worship. And at that stage, everything begins to change. Now, for us, communion is not simply an activity. It's not simply a wonderful expression of who God is and what he has done in the presence of one another, but it is also a statement. It is us choosing by our living to state that we are a free people, irrespective of what might be going on around us. It is a statement that is like light. When you and I turn light on, It shines in every direction. And this is a kind of statement that goes in every direction. For instance, it is an upward statement because it is you and I choosing to say to God that if you tell me that I am free, if you tell me to celebrate the fact that the Lord has broken the bonds and the Lord has broken the chains, if you tell me that you have won a great victory on Calvary and that that victory has been applied to my life, if you tell me that irrespective of life's vicissitudes and circumstances, I have been given not only the right to bless you and to praise you, but a responsibility to bear witness to the finished work of the cross, then that's exactly what I'm going to do. If you are calling me to worship, even if I am in a society that's not conducive to that kind of worship, that is what I am going to do. When I worship the Lord in my situation, if I bless the Lord in my difficult times, as we heard this morning, if I give glory to God no matter what the circumstance, because I believe that God has made me righteous and I reckon my righteousness to the cross of Christ and I acknowledge that what Jesus has done makes me a victor, makes me a winner. If I choose to worship God under those circumstances, then I am making a statement to God that is, God, I believe you. I trust you. If you invite me to this table, then I'm coming to this table. If you invite me to celebrate the fact that I'm free, then I'm going to celebrate the fact that I'm free. It is an upward statement, but it is also an inward statement. Because what I'm saying to myself is, why are you downcast, oh my soul? I am reminding myself of my responsibility to rejoice in the Lord. I'm not allowing myself to believe something else about myself. Whatever I am, as Paul said, I am by the grace of God. And because I'm not allowing myself to believe that God's cross is inadequate, then I'm not going to allow myself to believe that I am inadequate. Because I'm not allowing myself to believe that Christ's cross is insufficient, then I won't allow myself to believe that I am insufficient. Whatever the cross bought for me, that's what I am. And whenever I look at the price that was paid, I have to think to myself, something awesome must have been bought. Whatever Jesus did on Calvary, it made us an awesome people. You don't pay that kind of a price to get something that's not worth anything. If you pay that kind of a price, it means that what you bought means something. Jesus redeemed us. He bought us back from our rebellion, brought us back from our sin, and gave us a new life. And it is my responsibility and my privilege to celebrate that new life, to know that I am a new creature, to know that I am a member of the new creation, to know that God has done something wonderful. God has done something awesome. God has made a new man out of me. And you and I can enter into that kind of a celebration because we have been made new. We make an inward statement against everything in us that would try to suggest to us that we are not who God has made us to be, and we make a downward statement. The Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, that which is in the heaven, that which is on the earth, that which is under the earth. There comes a time when we have to make a statement to the devil. There comes a time when we have to say that the Lord has provided for me a table in the wilderness, and I am going to partake of everything that God has made me to be, and I'm going to do it in the presence of any kind of adversity. The Bible says He prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. When I partake of the communion supper, when I partake of the Passover, when I celebrate the great salvation that is wrought by Jesus Christ, when I allow myself to take into myself the fullness of His glory by the power of the Holy Spirit, then I am making a statement to every devil in the heavenlies, every devil in hell, every devil floating around. And I'm saying that in the name of Jesus, I am a free man. I walk now by the power of Christ, not by any lie of the devil, not by any leading of the ungodly. The Lord has made me a new kind of a person, and I don't mind saying it to the devil. I don't mind partaking of who Christ is right smack in the face of the devil. I don't mind bearing witness to the goodness of Jesus, irrespective of what I have to fight through, irrespective of what I have to go through. I don't mind bearing witness to the goodness of the great King, and I don't care what the devil has to say about it. There comes a time when the Church of Jesus Christ chooses to take a stand and to make a statement. When the light shines, it shines in every direction. And we're not worried about how the devil feels about it. If he's got a problem with it, let him buy some Ray-Bans. But I'm going to preach this gospel. I'm going to talk about my Jesus. I'm going to bear witness to the goodness of that great Savior. Because that's what the Lord has chosen to do. When we partake of the goodness of God, then we make a homeward statement. In other words, we are reminding each other that we're family. We're not allowing the devil to tell us that we need to fight against each other, that we need to one-up each other, that I can't be tall unless I'm standing on somebody else's neck, that I can't be what I'm supposed to be unless somehow someone is not allowed to be what they're supposed to be. I can't be me without you. And we can't be who we are unless we lift each other up, unless we strengthen each other, unless we encourage each other. And they were told that they ought to eat this meal, and they ought to eat it together. And they ought to provide for one another. And there comes a time when we make a homeward statement. We make an upward statement. We make an inward statement. We make a downward statement. We make an up, or rather, a homeward statement. And what we're saying to one another is, you matter to me. When we leave this place, we're going to leave together. That's what they were saying. When we march through the Red Sea, we're going to march through together. They might not have understood the fullness of it, but they knew that whatever they did, they were going to do together. When we deal with the issues of the wilderness, we're going to deal with it together. Whether it's lack or abundance, we're going to do it together. Whether there's no bread or whether there's no water, whatever, we're going to march together. When the Amorites come, or the Moabites come, or the Amalekites come, or whomever else, we're going to fight together. When we enter into the promised land, we're going to enter together. They made a statement way back then that there's going to be love here, there's going to be unity here, there's going to be family here. We're going to fight together. We're going to eat together. We're going to march together. We're going to walk together. We're going to learn together. We're going to grow together. We're going to be a family. So when they partook of that meal, it was a homeward statement. But it was also, as they marched forth, a rearward statement. And what they were basically saying to the past was, I'm not coming back to you. What they were saying to Egypt is, you've seen the last of me. And there comes a time in the life of the Christian person, as we partake of this great victory, as we celebrate this great liberty, What happens is something in us begins to rehearse this idea over and over again. I'm not going back. I don't care what the enemy tries to say. I don't care how loud Pharaoh's soldiers are shouting. I'm not going back. Remember, the Bible talks about the fact that as they began to move forward, there was a pillar of fire that stood between them and their past. A pillar of fire that stood between them and their history. The things that reminded them of the days of oppression, the days of pain, the days of hurt. There comes a time when the Christian person becomes convinced that I will never go back again. That the devil cannot pull me backward. That the world cannot draw me into its orbit. That I have been given a new life. That I have been given a new path. That I've been given a new direction. You know, when you walk in a different direction, you don't wind up in the same old places. And there are a lot of people who have had bad experiences. We've all had bad experiences. And sometimes we think that as we're moving on this new road, those bad experiences are going to come back to haunt us. Or we're going to make the same mistakes that we made in the past. A lot of people have those concerns with regard to relationships and so on and so forth. It's like, I messed up so many times before that I know if I try to get into a relationship, I try to get to know somebody for real. No. If you're doing it differently, different things are going to happen. If you're approaching relationships differently, then relationships will be different. If you and I don't approach it the way we did when we were bound, then we will notice that we are engaging other people in a different way. We're no longer the center of our relationships. It's no longer based upon us. It's based upon the glory of God and the person of Christ. And we begin to look to the other person saying, how can I bless your life? All of a sudden, we're no longer empty jars, but like David, our cups flow over. And before you know it, we're saying, how can I bless you? And they're saying, how can I bless you? And it's a completely different world. When you and I choose to move forward, the past can't keep up with us. We move really, really fast. It might not feel like it. You know how sometimes cosmologists and astronomers will tell us how quickly we're hurtling through space and so on and so forth, but it seems like we're standing still. Well, for the Christian, you might not think you're moving. You might think you're standing still, but you are moving really, really, really fast. Hallelujah. We travel on the wings of the wind. We are moving really, really fast. But we're moving in our element. We're not trying to do anything in our own strength. We're not trying to make things happen. So it's sometimes because we're moving in our element, it doesn't feel like we're moving at all. But we're moving really fast. So much so that the past can't keep up with us. Changes are happening at the very essential and substantial level. Things are happening in here. We're growing from the inside out. If you will, biologically speaking, at the atomic, at the molecular level, things are so deep and they are happening for real and they are making their way out. But we can't tell we'll tell as time progresses. But because it is so intrinsic, because it is so intricate, because it is so minute and then it builds and builds and builds, sometimes the enemy comes and lies to us and says, you can't really be growing. But it's like my little daughter. She might think she's not growing, but she's growing. You know what I mean? You know, she comes, like I was telling you before, she kind of comes and stands by the wall and asks me to measure her all the time, you know? And I'm like, it doesn't work that way. You know, it's not like you look in the mirror every day and say, I don't see any change. It's not the way it works. I just have to celebrate the fact that God can't lie. If he says he's growing us up, he's growing us up. If he says he's doing something in our lives, then he's doing something in our lives. But God works really, really deep. He's not superficial. He's not just going to do something quick on the surface. He's doing stuff that's deep, that comes out as time progresses. But you and I can at least rest assured in this. We're moving faster than our past. We're moving faster than the words that were spoken over our lives. We're moving faster than the pain. We're moving faster than the betrayals. We're moving faster than the neglect. We're moving faster than the curses. We're moving faster. We're moving faster than our own past decisions. We're moving faster than the pains that we've inflicted and the lies that we've told. We're moving faster. We are moving faster than anything in our past. It cannot keep up with us. No more than Pharaoh could keep up with God's people. God will move heaven and earth to protect you from going back. Heaven and earth to protect you from the path trying to come up against you. When I look at that pillar of fire that was behind them, I don't just see it as something that kept Pharaoh from coming up, but kept them from going back. The Lord is determined to keep us. Now unto him, the Bible says, who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. God is not going to let you go back as long as you choose to call out to him. If you find yourself slipping, God, help me. Think about Peter, right? You know, he's looking at the billows and he's looking at the waves and he's listening to the wind and he feels like he's about to sink and he simply cries out a single word, Jesus, help me. I remember I told you this before when I was first starting to learn how to drive and I'm driving in this old, you know, Volvo station wagon and so on and so forth. My very first car, and I'm in Colorado doing a little bit of ministry. I never learned how to drive when I was in New York. So I had to learn how to drive when I was there, and everything was on the fly. And one night, about 2 weeks into my driving career, I'm driving down the busiest street in it's like Broadway for that community. And I'm driving there literally at rush hour. And I get cut off by this car, and in my arrogance, instead of hitting the brake or moving, turning around, I figure I could just slide around him, right? You know what I mean? But he was moving too fast, and I thought I'm hitting my brakes, you know what I mean? And all of a sudden, I realized that I'm going faster than I was before, and I'm pumping that thing and moving fast as lightning until I finally recognize, man, I'm stepping on the accelerator, and I am going about 80 miles an hour, and the cars are coming out. Me, and all of a sudden I'm realizing, man, I am like swerving back and forth through traffic. I actually went up on the sidewalk and I hit the building, bricks coming off and so on and so forth, and I'm moving and all of a sudden I realized, man, if you know, it's like watching a video game. I'm watching the cars coming this way and that way, and the sparks are flying from my wheels and this, that. And all of a sudden, I simply cried out, Jesus, help! That was it. I didn't know what else to do. And it felt as though, literally, somebody took my leg and took it off the accelerator and slammed it on the brake. And all of a sudden, I spin around. Hallelujah. And my car is facing oncoming traffic. And somehow I didn't hit anybody. I didn't hit any other cars. It was absolutely remarkable. And I realized something. Well, I realized a couple of things. One, I can't drive. But that's second. Well, that was a while back. But I also recognized, you know, that one cry to Christ. One cry. You find yourself sliding backwards, or you find yourself going too fast, or you find yourself in the wrong lane. You find yourself getting a little bit proud at the wheel, seeing a little bit of oncoming traffic and not taking it as seriously as you should. One cry. Jesus, help me. Jesus, I was a little proud at the wheel. I saw it coming, but I didn't move. Help me. Jesus, the past was coming up on me, and I didn't take it as seriously as I should have. Help me. Thought I could dabble in this or do a little bit of that because I'd been so far ahead, and Jesus, help me. And that same Jesus will take you by your hand, and he will lift you up. He will slam on the brakes. He has a way of doing it. When I got out of that car, I was like, oh, man, I can't believe I was in that thing. The police were, like, scratching their heads. You know what I mean? I was like, what in the world? You know what I'm talking about? You know, they knew I wasn't drinking. They knew I wasn't like that. They understood. I just couldn't drive. They didn't throw me in jail or nothing like that. They just gave me a little bit of a ticket. You know? You understand? When you're moving along, just be wise, be careful. And if you find yourself going through a little bit of a difficulty, cry out to him. It's better to, you know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. You know, it's better to cry out and be regular about this supper. Be regular about this meal. Partake on a regular basis, and you'll find that you're usually moving pretty smoothly. But if you have a struggle, Jesus, help me. I can't do this on my own. Help me. And he will come in every time. An outward statement. Basically meaning that our celebration of Christ's victory is a light to the world. We make a difference in this world. We help people. They watch our freedom and they say, I want that. They watch the fact that we have victory and they say, I want that. They watch the fact that we walk differently than them. And they say, I want that. They say, I want the kind of life that you have. I want to be free. There's not a person on the face of this planet that doesn't want to be free. Everybody wants to know what it is to live life the way it was meant to be lived. Everybody wants to know it, and we are light in this generation. We make an outward statement. Remember, Jesus said, whenever you partake of this meal, you do preach the cross until he comes again. So we make an outward statement to this society. And we're saying to them, the devil doesn't have to win. We say to them, Jesus has taken a victory, a great victory, and you can partake of it. When you and I are celebrating victory, and we're just allowing God to tell us that we're free, and we're allowing ourselves to live as though we're free. But what happens is that freedom becomes so evident and so clear, both to us and to the people around us, that it becomes very easy for us to speak a word in season to that person who's weary. When you know that you're walking in freedom, it's easy for you to preach this gospel. It's easy for you to tell somebody about it. And not only that, but their hearts are open because they've been watching you. You've been showing them love. You've been showing them respect. You've been showing them forgiveness. You've been showing them patience. And all of a sudden, there's a door opened. And they're listening to you when you speak. And then finally, I should have preached on Noah today. Finally, I get a feeling there's a storm going on somewhere. My preaching ain't that good, amen. And then finally, we make a forward statement. That is to say, we are making a statement to our children. We're making a statement to the generations to come. Bible says that there's a great cloud of witnesses around us. And I think sometimes that talks about the people who have gone before us, who have left a legacy for us. But sometimes I think it's talking about people who are just looking in and watching what we're doing. And sometimes I think it talks about people who look at us from about this high. You know what I mean? our little children who look at us like this, and all they're asking is, tell me what life means. Tell me, my daughter, she asks me questions, and I've learned that in many cases, it's better to just say, I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Rather than trying to figure it out. I mean, you know, I'm not a geologist, so if she asks me questions like, you know, why is dirt, you know, red in some places and brown in other places, I don't know. I just don't know. You know what I mean? Why is the grass green? I don't know. You know what I mean? But why are you so kind and loving, and why that you ever hurt me, and why, you know, I can tell her that. I can tell her about my Jesus. I can tell her about what he's done for me. I can tell her about how he's changed me. I can tell her about how he's made me the kind of dad that she understands and that she loves and that she knows. I can tell her why. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I can tell her why her daddy loves her mommy. Why her daddy has never hurt her mommy. Why her daddy has been faithful and loyal to her mommy. It's not because of any strength in myself. I can tell her about my Jesus. I can tell her about what he's done for me. We have a statement to make in this generation. And like light, it shines in every direction. And Jesus said, a light is not to be under a bushel, but on a lampstand. We enjoy communion because it's a statement. We enjoy communion. We celebrate freedom because we got something to say in this generation. And it is our privilege and our responsibility to say it. Now, I want to pray with you this afternoon. If you're saying, Brother Will, I want to make a statement in this generation, I know I have something to say. And you don't have to be a public speaker or this, that, and the other. You just have to live free. And you have to tell people how you got free. I'm just saying, I want to make a statement. As Pastor said this morning, every other group seems to be wanting to make a statement. I think it's time we made a statement. It's time for us to shine in this generation. Pastor usually says we have one kick at the can. You know, this is a relay, and every generation passes the baton on to the next. This is our time. So that when we sit with Paul and Peter and everybody else, when we sit with Mary and Esther and everybody else, we got something to say. They may have this, you know, thank God for their story, but we got a story too. If God is speaking to you, and you just want to say, God, seal this word in my heart, I want to make a statement in this generation. I want to celebrate freedom. If the enemy's been lying to you and telling you you're not free, you got nothing to say, it is a lie. You are free, and you do have something to say if you put your faith and your trust in Jesus. So I'm going to ask you to come forward in a half sec, but also I want to say to you this, if there's anybody in this room who doesn't know what it is to be free, this is your time. Put your faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust him. He died for you. Died to give you new life. Not only to forgive you from your sins or for your sins, but to make you a new person so that you live a different kind of life. When you say that you're free, you are actually free. The Bible says, who the Son sets free is free indeed. You are actually free. It's not just some psychological statement. You live differently because you have been made different. I want to do what I can to pray really quickly so that those of you who live outside of the borough don't get caught in all of this storm. Let's stand together in the house of the Lord. I want to give you an opportunity to get across the bridge. Amen. God knows I love you so very, very much. If the Lord is speaking to you, come to the front of the auditorium. We'll pray together. And believe God to just seal this thing in our heart that says, I got something to say in this generation. I'm not going to let anybody shut me up. God has given me something to say. I'm going to celebrate his freedom. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, God bless you. Amen. Two things I want to say to you before we pray. One, if you didn't hear this morning's message, please, please avail yourself to it. It is a word from God, and maybe a little bit of what I said tonight might have kind of, you know, put some frames, if you will, but the substance is this morning. It is a great word. And secondly, if you don't want to go out into the rain, just hang on here and come back at 6 and we'll have some fun together, because I know God is going to speak to us tonight in a wonderful, wonderful way. Lord Jesus, I pray for my brothers and my sisters that are here. Lord, I know that there is something wonderful happening in this generation, something wonderful happening in this world today. Lord, there's a lot of darkness, but oh God, when the darkness comes, the stars shine that much brighter. And the light is that much more necessary, that much more important. And Lord, you still speak into the darkness and you still say, let there be light. And we're asking you, Lord, to let us shine in every direction, upward, outward, and oh Lord God, we believe that we have something to say in this generation. Let our freedom speak volumes. Let the fact that we know that we're free, irrespective of the lies of the enemy or of the philosophy of our society, let the fact that we know that we're free, irrespective of even the condemnation of our own hearts, let the fact that we know that we are free, irrespective of the things that have happened in our past, irrespective, Jesus, of all of those things, let the fact that we know that we are free because we look to the cross and not to the things of the world. We look to Christ and we take you at your word and we see things happening in our lives. They might not always happen at the rate that we expect, but they're happening. They're happening at the deepest levels. Let the fact that we know that we're free be our witness to this generation, be our statement to this time. And Lord, I pray for anyone in this room who has not known that freedom. Jesus, we're asking you to save them now. Lay your hand upon their heart and make them new. Forgive them of their sin. Make them know that it is your victory on the cross, that is the very essence of life, the very essence of victory. Lord, you choose to share that victory with us. And now, Lord, I pray for my brothers and my sisters. And I ask you to lay your hand upon each one, oh Jesus. Speak a word to each heart, a still small voice. So that no one walks away from this place thinking that they don't matter and that they don't have anything to say. God, in Jesus' name, we come against that lie. Everyone in this house has something to say, something to contribute, something to give. We come against the lie of Satan. If there is anyone in this room who has somehow believed the lie that they don't matter, that they have nothing to contribute, nothing to say, we come against that in Jesus' name. And we speak a word of truth. We share Christ's victory. We are a victorious people. We are light in a dark time, and we have something to say. We thank you for the privilege of it, Jesus, and recognize the responsibility. We love you, and we bless you. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Amen. God bless you.